This is a life-changing message from New Light Christian Center Church in Houston, Texas. And now, let's join Dr. I.V. Hilliard.
This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I am a believer, not a doubter. I am a doer, not just a hearer. And my life is the better after having heard the word of faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. Deuteronomy 8 and 18, our foundational text. Thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. Scripture declares God gives us the power to get wealth, so we understand wealth could not be evil. There's nothing wrong with wealth because he gives us the power to get it. Amen? So we clearly understand it's the will of God for us to be wealthy. It's the will of God, scripturally, for us to have abundance. It's the will of God for us to have more than enough. Amen? We establish the will of God from his word, not from what people are experiencing. So you don't say, well, couldn't be the will of God for us to be wealthy because I'm broke. Your life experience is not the reflection of whether it's the will of God or not. Now, we believe that if you walk in the word, you will soon reflect what the will of God is. But God's word is what it is, whether anybody ever experiences it or not. It is truth. Amen? And so we have also learned it's the will of God for us to have wealth and will of God for us to be blessed, but the will of God doesn't automatically come to pass. You have to know what to do in order to bring the will of God to pass in your life. We found out that this power to get wealth, and when the Bible talks about power, it uses a lot of synonyms. The anointing is power. Grace is the power of God. All of these are synonymous terms. And we found out that the Holy Spirit is actively involved in anything that God is doing in the earth. Anything God's doing, the Holy Ghost is doing, the Holy Spirit is doing. He says he will do things by his Spirit. So we understand that in any dispensation, any time in the Bible, when God is dealing with his people, that the Spirit of God is actively involved. So he is the administrator of the anointing. And he is the administrator and the agent of the anointing to cause wealth, prosperity in your life. Wish you had a better amen. Yeah, he is, I don't think they gave me enough time on my clock. They did. That's all right. I'm going to finish today. Yeah, I'm going to finish today. Yeah, but he is the agent. So we cannot afford to ignore him. All right, go with the Bible. Let's just look at this one little scripture, and this will end our review. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Yeah, he is the one. So the whole Fresh Fire message about recognizing the Holy Spirit, it is not just something that's going to make you feel warm and fuzzy, but it's going to affect your life day by day. It's going to affect how you live and the quality of your life. So verse 9 says, as it is written, I have not seen or ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. So we said God has prepared things for us, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. So I understand the Spirit of God is actively involved in bringing abundance into my life. If I will have this relationship with him and understand how to flow with the Spirit of God, it's not only going to affect my witnessing, but it will affect the wealth that I will be able to amass. And we said there's a purpose for the wealth. Purpose for this wealth is so that we can fund kingdom projects, we can give to kingdom people, and we can make it possible to win kingdom prospects. In other words, when we got wealth, if we want to buy television time, we can go buy television time. If we got the money, when it's time to buy television equipment, we can buy television equipment. All right, we can do whatever we need to do in a generation in order to take the gospel to the lost in a first-class manner. Now, if you miss that part of it and all you think that the wealth is for you to heap upon yourself, then you miss the whole meaning of it. And the Holy Spirit is not going to entrust wealth to those who all they want to do is squander it upon themselves. Amen, amen. So you see, you have to work. The Holy Spirit has to work. Go to Job chapter 22. Your Holy Spirit has to work with you to get that selfishness out of you. Because the first time you hear about prosperity, you ain't thinking about no loss. You're not thinking about the loss. You're thinking about yourself. what you need. Need a new car, need some clothes, need some cash, need a better crib. You understand? That's all you're thinking about. Come on, let's not front. Now, it's the Spirit of God that has to mature you so that you have the compassion of Jesus in your heart so that you will properly manage what God puts into your hands. Amen, amen. Amen. But if you'll get acquainted with him, and if you will cultivate this relationship with him, you will have plenty. Everybody say, I'll have plenty.
Amen.
All right, watch this. In Job 22, and starting there at verse 21, it says, acquaint thyself now with him. And be at peace, thereby good shall come unto thee. Receive, I pray thee, the law from his mouth, and lay up his words in thine heart. If thou return to the Almighty, thou shalt be built up. Thou shalt put away iniquity from thy tabernacles. We already talked about that, haven't we? All right, watch this. Then thou shalt lay up gold as dust, and gold and the gold of Ophrah as the stones of the brook. Yea, the Almighty shall be thy defense, and thou shalt have, oh, don't be bashful. Plenty of sin. Everybody say plenty.
Plenty.
Yeah. Oh, man. Amen. That's the Bible. You don't have to be ashamed of it. You don't have to be bashful of it. He says you'll have plenty. Amen. So now we are in the midst of this bold pursuit. Everybody say bold pursuit. Amen. Because we can see that we can achieve God's purpose. We're passionate about acquiring wealth. It's wealth transfer time. We showed that from the scripture. And so now we have this pursuit, this unyielding pursuit. In other words, I got to want it. The Bible says, if you hunger and thirst after righteousness, you will be filled. So in the kingdom of God, you will be filled to the level of your hunger and your thirst. Look at the person that said, you got to want it. 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 Amen. Got to want it. Amen. And so this pursuit has to be anchored in the Word of God. All right. Now, go with me your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 10. Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. Let me just stir you up a little bit more before we get into this. Can I stir you up a little bit more? Yes. Yeah, yeah. Okay. My pursuit must be anchored in pleasing God. I want to please God. I know it pleases God for me to prosper. May not please my friends, may not please my relatives, may not please some folk in society, but God is pleased when I prosper. Everybody say, God is pleased when I prosper. Amen. I'm motivated because he told me he will give me the desires of my heart. Yeah, so I'm not going to define myself by stuff, but he said he will give me stuff. Amen. Amen? Amen? I'm motivated because I know that the Bible says I should leave something for my children's children. So I know that what I'm doing now is setting in motion generational prosperity. Everybody say generational prosperity. So that, you know, not only will I never be broke, but my children will never be broke. And my children's will, because we are all founded on the principle here. Are you understanding that? Are you understanding that? See, I teach my principle. My children practice every principle you practice. No, serious. They check my box. No. I'm daddy, but I'm pastor. I'm bishop. Yes, yes. They respect that. They check my box, too.
Yes.
When they want something to happen, they sow into me, too.
Yes.
Because it's a principle. Everybody say it's a principle. All right, Mark chapter 9, verse 23. See if I can't get you to dream today. Hey, glory to God. Hey, glory to God. All right, watch this. Mark chapter 9, verse 23. Jesus saith unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that
believe.
To him that what?
Believeth.
All things are possible to him that
believeth.
All things are possible to him that believeth. So if you can believe it, it becomes possible for you. Got it? You're believing What you believe is impacted by what you experience, what you are exposed to, and what you are exhorted in. Okay, man, you didn't go with that hot thing. See, if you just hang with somebody who got something, then you start saying, I could have that too. When you're exposed to, see, you have to expose yourself to things at the next level. Yeah. Right. Amen. Amen. Everybody say, expose yourself. At the next level. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Get a bucket of chicken every now and then. Instead of just come getting 2-piece. Some people ain't never got a bucket. They never got a bucket of chicken. Every time they go in there, they get 2 pieces. Just one day, haul off and just get you a bucket. Just, I want a bucket. I mean, fill the car up. Don't just get $5, $10. Come on, one of these days, just fill it up. Put the lock on there and walk away. Next level. Go drive through the neighborhoods with the big house. Amen. I mean, go to the dealerships where they had a nice cars. Get in there and sit in them. They can't stop you. I sit in the Rolls Royce before I had one. I used to go to the dealership, and when I drove up in there, they knew I couldn't afford one. They didn't even, the salesman didn't even come out and talk to me. That's all right. He's going to stop me from looking. Everybody say, get exposed. Because see, what you can believe becomes possible for you. Amen, amen. Go stay in a nice hotel room. You understand? You know, pass up Motel 6 next time you go out of town. And just, if you can't stay but one night in a nice one where they got the nice suites and all kind of stuff. And then I'm going to show you how to talk them down now. You don't have to pay for that. About all. You don't never pay the first price they give you. You got to expose yourself. I'm telling you. You're talking about having, there's some things you have to do. Now, where you get that principle from God? Because God told Abraham. He took him and he walked him around in the land. Before he gave it to him, say, Abraham, see, all this can be yours. And the Bible says, after Abraham walked into the land, he said, well, I can have this. So you got to get as close as you can to the things you desire. Amen. All right, all right, all right, all right. Amen, amen, amen. Okay, well, I think I got you stirred up enough. Now, the unyielding pursuit. Now, we're going to pursue it through, number one, work performance. Oh, he said that dirty word. Number two, through wise procurements. How to procure, that's negotiation. I had to have my old P's, see. Everything had to line up, you know, with my alliteration. So everything has to have W and a P. That's the way it makes what I teach portable. You carry it with you. All right? Work. Performance. Wise. Procurements. Warfare planting, we talked about that last night. Wealth products and warfare praying. That's my assignment for the next 46 minutes. Y'all ready? Okay, now, when the anointing is at work, we said last night it does several things. The anointing at work on your life, activated in your life, number one, attracts finances. Number two, accelerates favor. God raises up somebody to help you because you're anointed. Number three, it provides the ability to function. In other words, you're going to be able to do things you've not necessarily been trained to do. or you're credentialed to do. All right, watch this. Number four, it will abolish fear. In other words, you won't have fear. You won't be intimidated. Why? Because you understand there is anointing on you. Amen. Number five, allows for fulfillment. In other words, the anointing on you, it allows for you to be, it allows for fulfillment. You're not driven by ambition. Amen. Number six, it aligns forces. And what I mean by that, there are things that have to get in order. The anointing on your life, the anointing to prosper, causes all these things to line up. People have to be in place. Amen. On the spiritual end, angels get involved. Amen. And then number seven, it causes abounding authoritative faith. You might want to just say authoritative faith. I mean, the kind of faith where you start speaking, but you're speaking totally different from, you know, folks that just got a little, you know, confession. You believe what you say coming to pass. Amen. I mean, you speak in the mouth, but you expect mountains to move. You have authoritative faith. Amen. You're the redeemed. And what the redeemed say is so. And you said, I said it, that's for us. So. Amen. And it's so today. It's so tomorrow. It's so next week. It's so 2 weeks from now. It's so a month from now. I said it, and it's so, whether it's my healing, whether it's my deliverance, no matter what it is, I said it. It came out of anointed lips. I have given voice to the word of God, and when I said it, it. Nobody happy but me this Saturday morning, but that's I take it all by myself. Anyway. All right, so now, those are the seven things that are activated in this pursuit. So, number one, let's deal with work performance. Because, as I said, a lot of folk think work is a bad word. Deuteronomy 28. I'm going to start by being the diligent worker. Yeah, so you just want money to fall out the sky. See, that's what you think. You want to violate the principle. I already told you the Holy Ghost is going to help me activate and execute the principles of increase. One of the principles of increase is work. Come on. Let's get excited about the work. Let's shout about the work. Thank God you got a job. Amen. Thank God you got a job. At least that's a channel. There's some folk who sit next to you wish they could shout that they had a job in manifestation. They still believing for one. You got one and half working. Look at verse 12. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure. The heaven to give rain unto the land in his season. And to bless all the work of thine hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. Everybody say, God, bless the works of my hands. Yeah. Proverbs 10, 24. Going to work with a new swagger. Going to work with an attitude of giving my best. Because promotions don't come from the north or the south. God's looking at my faithfulness. He is going to promote me. I'm being promoted right now in Jesus' name. Going to the next level right now in Jesus' name. Verse 4 says, he becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand. Show up late. Half work. Take off early. Have somebody else punch out for you. But the hand of the diligent maketh, that's Bible there. That's Bible. So you work as unto the Lord. But they ain't paying me enough. Well, go on, quit then. Let somebody else have a job they wanted. Quit stealing. Amen. Everybody say, new attitude. All right, watch this. Let's get one more scripture, then we move on, because y'all don't like the work part. Y'all want me to move on? Well, it work. I mean, y'all want the head, not the tail, but only not beneath. Don't get that work part. Get off that work. Amen. We'll get you to work. Got to be a good worker. Proverbs 12, 24. Proverbs 12, 24. Going to work. Different. Diligent. Amen. All right. The hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. I said it this way. The hand of the diligent will rule, be the boss, be promoted, be the supervisor. But the slothful shall be put to forced labor. Do this. Do that. Get over here. Come on. Come on. Because you got to have oversight. See, you can't work without on-site supervision. You got to always have somebody over you. Because, see, you're trying to get by. You still got that old get-by mentality, son. So you're not going to pray, Holy Spirit, help me to be more diligent on my job.
Yes, sir.
Amen? Amen. Quit trying to fall and fake an injury to get off. That's that iniquity working in you, because your uncles did that, and your kinfolk close to you did that, and they was always waiting on their settlement. You living waiting on a settlement, and God wants to make you rich. If I say move on, Pastor, move on. No, I need to stay here. All right, all right. We want to pursue it, pursue it, pursue. Everybody say pursue it.
Pursue.
All right, look there. Look like, look now at David in the what I tell you guys in what is 2 Samuel. What did I tell you last night? 1 Samuel 30. 1 Samuel 30. Yeah, everybody said we're in hot pursuit. Hot pursuit. Hot pursuit. We're gonna get this. Indeed. Amen, amen. I'm going to have my prosperity in manifestation. My prosperity ain't going to be no confession. All the time, just confession. Now, I need prosperity in manifestation. I need where I can write some checks.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. Verse 6 says, David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the souls of all the people were grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. That's what you have to do in the pursuit. You got to encourage yourself. Folk on your job, talking down, you got to encourage yourself. You may be the only one diligent, but that's okay. You may be the only one, but that's okay. I'm telling you, that's an all-seeing eye. I worked in the industry, and man, I tell you, this guy, he was my supervisor. He'd come in, put me to work, and then go out and get drunk. And, that's what he'd do. Go out and get drunk, and then come in time for, the shift to change. I was doing his work and my work. And everybody was telling me, you a fool, you ought to be like, no. I'm learning. And then this guy came down from corporate. And they said he was just transferring, and he was working co-working right there with me. I looked at the guy. I could tell this guy's something else. I checked his fingers, his fingernails all manicured and everything. No, this guy was a polished guy, you understand?
Yeah.
And he worked with me for about 2-3 weeks, you understand? And then next day I come in, the big boss had come in, and he was over there with the big boss with the suit and tie on. He was the replacement for the boss over the whole plant, over the whole company. They put him down in our area so he could see really what was going on before they gave him the position. He saw I was working. Guess who became supervisor? Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Look at the person there and say, it can happen for you. Come on down. All right, watch this, verse 8. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered, pursue, And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them and without fail recover all. Man, I'm telling you, we're on a pursuit that we cannot fail at. If we do it right, you'll not fail at this. If you practice the principles, you will not
fail.
All right? Now, let's look at the next pursuit. The next pursuit is the pursuit through wise procurements. Everybody say wise procurements. Now, this has to do with negotiations. In Matthew chapter 25, you know, there, it's the story there of the talents and all that sort of thing. And it's a powerful little story there. But the essence of it is being wise in handling, being a wise steward and handling the resources that you have. The negotiations, 100 person that said, you got to get this. All right. The negotiating table is the battlefield for wealth transfer. It's the battlefield for wealth transfer. You can either gain or lose at the negotiating table. You, from this day forward, will never approach buying and selling the same. And just let me just I'll put this, I'll just say it a little later. I won't say it right now because I want to, I'll say it a little later. But everything is negotiable. Everybody say
everything
is negotiable. The negotiation is the sensible method and process by which two or more parties can make a mutually profitable, beneficial exchange of possessions, ideas, or establish policies that define relationships. We will experience the favor of God and his guidance to the extent that we are bold enough to negotiate the equitable transfer of goods and services with honesty and integrity from those who possess them. The believer's negotiation cannot be with fraud.
Amen.
Amen. Everything's negotiable. Cars, houses, clothes, food, jewelry, job compensation, jets. I got exposure. I'm just taking it there, you know. Now, you may not ever have your own jet, but some of y'all might. So for those who might, I got to talk to you too. Amen. Look at the person that says, it can happen. Come on, tell me it can happen. Amen. I mean, nobody probably would ever believe when I was riding on a raggedy car and couldn't hardly make it that I'd ever have jets. The person is if it happened to him. If it could happen for him, it could happen for me. Amen. Come on, tell them God's able. Come on, tell God's able. Say, his God's my God. Come on. Don't tell me his God's my God. Hallelujah. I remember the guy when I first got ready to go on television, I didn't have no money and have no members. But God told me I could go on television. And the guy who had been on television, I had been hanging around and was kind of like mentoring me, I told him I was going to go on television. He said, you can't go on television. I said, how come I can't go on television? He said, you don't have enough members, you don't have enough money. I said, wait a minute. Your testimony was that God put you on television. Now, if God put you on, come on, he put me on. He tried to talk me out of my dream. Amen. And I went on television with no money and no members. Well, I had a few. I ain't going to say no. I had a few. You know, in those early days, crowd shots, we had to manufacture our crowd shots. We had to tell people, everybody come on Wednesday. We sit everybody in this section. Then we tape it. Then we move everybody over here. Then we tape it. And we move everybody to the other section. Then we tape it. Then we get in the editing room. We put all that thing together. Tell you that. You do what you got to do. Take care of your business. All right. We can see negotiations thrown all throughout the Bible. Hobab was a guide. And Moses needed a guide to take him through the wilderness. There's some things Moses did in the natural. Yes, he had the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud, but he needed a natural guide, but he had no money to pay him. And so he negotiated with Hobab, saying, come with us and we'll do you good. God has promised us a lot of things. And when God bless us, then I'm going to bless you. Amen. And Hobab, first time he said, Hobab, come go with us. Hobab said, look, man, I got stuff to do. I'm really busy. I got something to do. But then he made Hobab a proposition he couldn't turn down. And he led him through the wilderness. What did Moses do? He negotiated with him. And God gave him favor with the guy. Amen. Man, I can't tell you how many times I've negotiated in situations and I did not have any money, but God gave me favor with the person. We got into the Crown Park Plaza thing. Y'all heard my testimony. I sat there with no money. I'm negotiating hard with this guy. He said, all right, now give me first month, last month, and the deposit. And that came with around $20,000 or so. Bridget wrote the check. I put the check in the man's hand and held it and said, this check is no good. Now I negotiated hard and strong, you understand? And now I'm holding on to the end of the check because I'm not going to give it to him. And then let it bounce and then go, man, I don't know what's wrong with them banks. I don't know. That's fraud. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Said, this check is no good. And here's when I plan to make it good. Now the favor got to show up. Yes, now if the favor don't show up, I ain't going to cuss the man. I'll go, you so-and-so. Don't do that. He's just not the avenue. God's got another one. Amen. All right. We see Solomon negotiating. Solomon negotiated and bartered. Really, he wanted some trees from a certain place, and he promised them something and got the trees, the lumber, because he wanted to build a temple a certain way. Jacob negotiated his salary. He wanted to go on commission. He was on straight salary. He wanted to go on commission. And he came to his father-in-law and offered him a proposition that he couldn't refuse. He said, let me go on commission. I'll take all the solid cows. And listen, all the solid cows that will give birth to spotted and speckled cows, those will be my hire. That's what I'll call my wage. And the guy looked at him and said, well, you fool. He said, on his breath, he said, now you crazy. He said, because two solid cows mating will normally produce another solid cow. So he said, I'll take you up on that. But Jacob had been given a creative idea from God on how to cause genetic miracles. And he ended up getting rich because every cow that dropped from the solid cows was spotted and speckled. Hallelujah. So now I got to understand this process of procurement. When I'm going to negotiate, I must have my goals in mind, my primary needs, and my secondary needs. In other words, the key to negotiating successfully is preparation. Number two, I must be assertive. I must have enough self-worth to make my desires known without being intimidated. Number three, I must listen attentively and have patience to paraphrase what has been said so that there will be no misunderstanding. Don't ever let a negotiator talk over your head. I negotiated some people the other day, and he was talking some stuff. And so I said, now, gentlemen, I may be a little slow. So I think y'all need to go over that. And the guy started laughing and said, okay, slow, okay, slow. No, but I wanted him to say it again so he could hear it because I was writing it down. Anytime I negotiate, I'm writing. You got it? But don't be afraid of it. Don't be afraid of it. Don't be afraid of listening. Don't be afraid of making them paraphrase. All right? Be sensitive when you're in person's presence to nonverbal communications, the person's posture. Now, when you're dealing with high-level negotiators, They will send signals to you. It's a high game then when you're negotiating with a negotiator, then it's real high level because he will send false signals to you. But at the same time, I'm sending signals too. What do you mean? All right, folded arms means I'm not interested. You're not getting your point across. Hand under your chin, like she's got a hand under your chin. That's I'm interested. She got a hand under your chin. I'm interested. You got it? See, so I'm preaching now. See, we negotiate, see. Because she got her hand on her hand, she's shaking her head. That means, okay, I'm with you, Pastor. I'm with you, Pastor. I'm with you, Pastor. Now, if she was sitting up here like this, then I had to come over here and work on it, you understand? So all kinds of things, you know, send signals. Now, when I'm negotiating at certain levels, I take out my credit card. I got a black card. That means I can buy anything in here, including here. Now, what that means, I can buy anything in here, including here. I take it out, and I tap it. Because that means you're dealing with a person now who can make this deal. I ain't just talking. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, you say, well, I ain't got no black card. That's all right, take out yours, whatever you got. I don't care if one of them bank cards, just turn it over. Just don't let them see the whole thing. All right. What am I now? Number five. Confront when necessary. And that is communicate with passion and always present possible solutions. In negotiations, when they start putting forth their point of view, their negatives, you know, and that sort of thing, you always want to come. You always don't back down because a person says, "Well, I don't think we can make this work." I've had so many people tell me they couldn't make a deal work, and deal end up working. You got it? And so here's a good statement to make: what do I have to do to make this deal work the way I want it to work? They may say, "Well, you need to talk to Mr. Broussard." Well, go get Mr. Broussard then. You know, if Mr. Broussard is the one that can make the deal, go get Mr. Broussard. How's the person that says, stay with him, say no. All right. Always keep in mind that I must be a good steward over what God's given me. That when you're negotiating, you're not being cheap, but you're just being a good steward. Amen. All right. Understand. The non-intimidating communications in negotiations. Now, here's what I mean. See, a lot of people, they're kind of intimidated. So it's hard for them to confront. They just not confront people who confront easily. And so here's some things that you have to understand. Don't take it personally. Don't ever take a negotiating process personally. Don't take it personal. So if you don't take it personal, you won't be afraid to say, "I pass," and get them walk out. See, but if you're taking it personal, what folk gonna think if I don't get it? Okay, what you think? You follow me? And you gotta understand, it's not personal. It's never personal. Everybody says never personal.
It's never personal.
Now, because some of y'all may judge me, but if y'all want to judge me, fine. Fair with you, plain, I don't care. Now, when I got ready to pay for the funeral expenses for my mother, I negotiated. What? How could you do that? Your mother landed up in that hole, and you out here negotiating. That's right. This is business. This is straight up business. This is a business proposition. So the dude going to talk about what my mama loves. I said, listen, man, you didn't even know my mama. So how you know what my mama loves? I said, this is business. Don't come there with me like that. I said, I done my homework. I know your markup, and I ain't paying all these high prices. That's it. And I was prepared to have somebody else come get mama and take her somewhere else. It ain't personal. This ain't personal. This is not personal. Everybody say, this ain't personal. This is business. Now, you do what you want to. You can go down and let them rip you off and let them tell you, you sure would love this. She sure would look natural in this. And then they charge you all that money. And then you're going to leave the grave crying. You're going to leave seriously crying. Ain't nobody going to leave the grave happy but the undertaker. He's the only one going to leave the grave happy. I'm just about through. I know that kind of rub y'all the wrong way. But I've had members who come to me and told me, Pastor, thank you that you prepared me so that when I went in to negotiate, to deal with those preparations, my mind was set. This is business. And I got a much better deal. Amen. Be friendly and be courteous. Remember, you're a Christian. Amen. Know these power phrases. Here's the power phrase. I understand if that's the best you can do, I pass. I understand if that's the best you can do, I pass. All right? When the person is talking and they're saying something and they're looking as though you're making progress, you can say something like, that's good, that sounds fair. Everybody want to be fair. Everybody say, that sounds fair. Yeah, when they're making progress, you applaud the progress by, okay, that sounds fair. They got it. You say you're negotiating for the rate on a hotel room. And they say, well, we will give you we'll give you all of the access to the exercise facilities free. Well, that's good. That's fair. That's fair. You understand? So some things that they will charge you for normally, you can cause them to throw those in complimentary. All right, here's another one. Here's another thing. When you want to get them to make an automatic concession. And here's the phrase. Of course you know everybody. The word of course you know. Nobody wants to be in a place of not knowing. So when you say of course you know, all hotels are dropping their prices. Now. Yeah. Of course you know. Everybody say of course you know. All right, so when you want to make a statement, you use of course you know, and normally people will automatically concede. All right, now, here's the thing. You got to understand, negotiators will try to use this same thing on you. And you'll have to be able to stop them. Got it? And and all you have to say is, when they say, of course you know, you can say, well, I really didn't know that. Yeah. No, I really didn't know that. Okay, all right. I don't know if I'm going to have this app. All my negotiating strategies to be out there. But I got some. I got some for high-level people who may be watching. I was negotiating a big deal the other day, super big deal. And this guy, I was negotiating with it. He finally figured out that I knew what I was doing. And he said, man, you are a serious negotiator. He said, now I got to call in some help. All right. When a person has made a statement and has given in, but you want more, you say something like, I can appreciate this, however. We're knocking 10% off. I can appreciate the 10%. However, I'm really looking for about 40%. Amen. When you buy jewelry, never pay, never, 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 never pay the list, the retail price on it that's listed on it. Never pay that. Never, what I say?
Never.
Never. I always start negotiating at half of what they ever have on there. Never. If they will not come down, they're probably not selling jewelry, they're selling money. Well, you mean selling money? It's selling finances. They'll finance it for you. So, you know, you got to pay their price. They finance it. You know, their price, you know, is when they finance it, if you're using their money, then you got to pay their price. If you got your own money, you follow me, then you can make them come to your price. If they won't, hey, I pass. All right? Now, y'all okay? All right. When you negotiate, understand that you will walk away as a good kingdom steward and you will have higher equity in what you just paid for. So learn and negotiate. You can get things for less. Amen. Everybody say learn to negotiate. Yeah, you can always get things for less. Always, 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 always get things for less. The next time you get it, you are up for employment, negotiate. Most people don't. Most people just sit there and whatever package they give them, that's what they take. When that's your time to negotiate. Now, if you already got the package, you can't go back in and try to renegotiate. Too late. Just learn for the next time around. Got it? Or if an opportunity presents itself. So you negotiate vacations, time off, and all that kind of stuff at the time you sign on. I remember one bold negotiating move I made years ago. Everybody say years ago, years ago. Years ago, I was in this company. I looked at their operation, and I saw something that they were not doing. I knew the machine had more capabilities than they knew how to maximize. So I told the guy, I said, listen, I'm not going to fill out an application. And I wrote my salary that I wanted to make on a piece of paper and put it on his desk. And I said, I'll work for you 2 weeks, and if I cannot cut your operation time in half, you owe me nothing. But if I cut it in half, that's what I want to be paid. He looked at the figure and looked at me. He said, you can cut it in half. I can cut your operation in half. 2 weeks. I don't have to sign any paper. If I don't do it, you owe me nothing. If I do it, that's my salary. I worked for him 1 week. He came in. He met that salary and everything else. I look at the person that's saying, I'm anointed. Come on, tell me I'm anointed. You can do this. I got to get your bowl. So when you go in next time to buy some stuff and you're going to buy more than one of them, you can say, listen, I'm buying two, so I think y'all ought to be able to do something for me. What do you mean, do something for you? I think you should be able to give me a better price. I'm buying four of these things at one time. I mean, listen, you. Well, do you have a supervisor here to talk to me? A supervisor comes out, and as hard as times are now, before they let you walk out of there, they will give you some kind of discount. You have not because you? Can I move on now? All right. Now, listen. All right, we looked at the pursuit through work performance, the pursuit through wise procurement. Now, let's look at the pursuit through, because we dealt with welfare planning last night, right? Come on, y'all know we deal with welfare planning. In other words, I'm planning as warfare, not welfare. Oh, welfare. Warfare planning. In other words, I said, we ain't planning for no welfare, Pastor. Okay, I understand. Much love. Check a brother out. All right, check a brother. All right, warfare planning, where the Bible says, I can sow my seed and God shows up. In Genesis 26, verse 12, Isaac sowed in a famine. Sowed in a famine, wanted an increase, and increase showed up 100-fold the same year. Now go to 2 Kings chapter 4, because let's talk about wealth products. Wealth products. You're going to tap into wealth transfer multiple ways. One way to tap into wealth transfer is through commerce with the wicked or commerce with the world. Everybody say with the world. All right. Now, remember when we read out of Isaiah 61, where we talked about the light is come and the people will be coming to your light. That's all talking about your knowledge, your wisdom. And God can inspire you and will inspire you with Wealth products. Everybody say wealth products. Now, wealth products is different from something you like, some hobby you like. You want to make a million at the hobby you have, but ain't nobody like that hobby. No, I mean, say, ain't nobody happy with you with your hobby, and that's okay. You can have that, but that may not be a wealth product. I'm praying for God to give you creative ideas to produce wealth. Now, that's what the prophet did in 2 Kings chapter 4. Now, hunch the person there and say, you don't want to miss this part. No. All right, watch this. Verse 1. Now, therefore, cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets to Elisha, saying, thy husband, my servant, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. The creditor has come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? What you got? God gives everybody something to work with. You've got something to work with. You may not have discovered it yet, but you have something to work with. Amen. And she said, thine handmaid had not anything in the house save a pot of oil. In other words, she looked at what she had, but she did not really value what she had. Then he said, go borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrowing out a few. What was he doing now? He was showing her a need. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon her, upon thee, and for thy sons, and shall pour out into all the vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. What's happening now? Anointing is causing multiplication. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and her sons, and he brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass that when the vessels were full, that she said to her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said, there's not a vessel more. And they all stayed. Then, this is verse 7, then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil, pay thy debts, and live thou and thy children of the rest. He put her in business selling oil. There was a shortage of oil. He identified a need and put her in business to meet that need. Do you hear me, saints?
Yes.
And there are various needs that God can give creative ideas to you to meet those needs. Amen. Oh, Pastor, that's easy for you to say. Oh, no. You just don't understand. See, I have to be very careful about what I get involved in because nothing can take place of my ministry. Nothing can take place. This is my priority. Kingdom is my priority. But every now and then, God gave me a little opportunity. I partnered to get some things done, and I had this creative idea when I was reading about dieting and all that kind of stuff. Had a creative idea about sugar, because your body gains weight when you have high sugar content in your blood. So I wanted to cheat on my diet. I'm going to say how I evolved. I wanted to cheat on my diet. So I said, well, what I need a pill that can bring my sugar down so I can eat something sweet. No, that's it. That's it. So, you know, I thought, wait a minute, if I want that, so I went to work. Now, when I traveled around the world last year I went around world travel. I gave myself that trip for my birthday. And when I did that, I was in deep study. I was reading all kind of books on natural stuff and how the blood works and all that kind of stuff. And then I worked with another person and a formulator and came up with a product. I said, you knew nothing about this. I just want to show you how it works, you see. Now, with all I do, see, I got this product. It's called Stabilex. It's my product. New Life does not own this product. Okay? I have a distribution system. I have infomercials on TV. So you see it on TV, you don't know it's me. Because I got actors and all. And my first infomercial, first time I tested it on television, I got a raving review from the infomercial companies that judge infomercials. Now in the process, we found out, that in people who are pre-diabetic and people who are, you know, who are taking pills, This can help them. So, everybody say, it's about to blow up. Thank you, Tim. Now, well, all I got to do. I tell you, the Holy Spirit is ready to help you tap into the flow of money by addressing needs. I said, what most people do when they get an idea, they want it all to themselves, and you can't have it all. You got to partner with other people. Like, I got a distribution company out of California. I mean, when you call into the system, they handle all that. I got my website all up and everything. And you look at it, you don't see me nowhere on it. I don't have to get no time to it. I need, you know, I got to hire somebody to get some more time to it. But, you know, that's for the thing. But I'm telling you. I'm showing you how it manifests. I didn't say that to try to sell none of it to y'all. So I ain't, that's not it. Okay? That ain't what I'm trying to do. Please understand. I ain't trying to sell it because I've had it a while. Never told you nothing about it because that's not it. But in this seminar, in this setting, and I probably won't even put it on television because that's not the point. I'm just showing you how it manifests. I had this idea, and then in the middle of this idea, I went, wow, if I want it, somebody else want it. Think about things that you have that you need like you need it, somebody else might need it. Now, if you can collaborate with other people, y'all can come up with a product. Yeah. Everybody say a wealth product. And we're talking about product that makes some, oh, yes, yes, say praise the Lord. That's what we're talking about. Make some money. Amen. Come on, look for the person that can say, money is looking for me. Let's close this thing out now. With warfare praying. Everybody say warfare. Praying. This is the uncommon prayers that I was talking about. Let me just add another scripture to the last one. Luke chapter 19, verse 13. Jesus gives this parable. And this parable is talking about what we ought to be doing while he's gone. And the word says, occupy till I come. But over in the Amplified, it says, buy and sell. He wants you to be in business. Amen, amen. Now, this sister here, I'm going to say it. You got one of your ascots on? You ain't bring one today? I ain't tell you. Anyway, he likes ascots, these things he put in. And so she makes them. You got it? So since he likes them, other people's preachers start talking to him about them. So she started making them for other preachers. Yes. Well, not just preachers, anybody that like them. Amen. So one of these days when you see me sports one in here, that's what's hers. Yes, sir. One of these days when I walk up in here, when we'll ask God on that matching, you understand, matching handkerchief and all, you'll say, well, we know where Doc got that from. We know where Bishop got that from. Amen. All right, now, let's talk about praying for stuff. Oh, I didn't even get not one amen. Are y'all tired of me?
No.
I ain't got but 2 minutes left. We're going to talk about praying for stuff, and then after we finish that, we're getting ready to flow into praying for stuff.
Yes.
Amen. All right, we're just going to show you the word now. I'll show you the word warfare praying. Warfare praying that I'm talking about is praying that produces wealth, produces stuff. When David prayed for him to pursue and recover all, God answered that prayer, said, surely you're going to recover all. And he did, and he got everything back. Jehoshaphat, in the middle of his situation in 2 Chronicles 20, they prayed. And I got to tell you, they won. They won the battle there. That confrontation they won, and it took them 3 days to carry away all the spoils. You've got to understand that you don't be intimidated by asking God to bless you with stuff. Asking God to bless the works of your hands. Matthew 7:7. Come on, hurry. Y'all all right? All right, I'm all right too. Praise the Lord. I'm going to finish. Ask and it shall be given. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. To him that knocketh it shall be opened unto him. Everybody say everyone.
Everyone.
All right, let's look at another passage. Go to John chapter 16. Gospel of John chapter 16. Don't be intimidated by asking. He told me to ask. I don't care if folk don't like it. Now, y'all not be praying, asking for you. Don't you haven't read the Bible? I have. Verse 23, and in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever. Whatsoever. Could whatsoever be a car? Yes. Whatsoever. Could whatsoever be a house? Yes. Whatsoever. Could whatsoever be millions? Yes. If he didn't want me to ask, shouldn't have put it in here. Whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Go back one chapter to John chapter 15. Verse 7. If ye abide in me and my, come on class, my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified. Amen, amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. All right, let's go to another passage. Maybe that's not enough. Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. Warfare. Everybody say warfare. In other words, I'm going to acquire some stuff because I'm praying for stuff. Yes, indeed. What you're praying for here yet? I'm praying for a whole lot of stuff. I'm praying for millions. I'm praying for millions. Yes, I am. You don't have to, but I'm praying for millions. I'm praying for millions. I give millions. I'm praying for millions. Glory to God. Amen. You can say, well, I give thousands. I'm praying for thousands. You got to start somewhere. Amen. Don't be intimidated. Amen. All right, verse 24. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when you pray, believe, ye receive them things. Them things. New house. Them things. New car, them things. New clothes, them things. More money, them things. And you shall have them. Amen, amen, amen. Warfare prayer. Warfare prayer. Here are several things when I look at warfare prayer that I see. Number one, warfare prayer. Causes me to expect the incredible. Everybody say, expect the incredible. Number two, my enemies are identified. Jehoshaphat said, this is my enemy. David said, these folk took my stuff. All right? Number three, El Shaddai is invited. I'm going to preach this one day when I got time. You understand? The God who's more than enough is invited to come on the scene. Number four, empowerment is involved. He always empowers you to do beyond what you thought you could do. Right? There is always the intervention, but there's always extraordinary intervention. God shows up in extraordinary ways. Number seven, the exploitation of the devil is interrupted. My. They had your house up for foreclosure, but you prayed. And God gave you favor. What am I, number seven? Number seven. And you experience increase. So Jabez prayed, oh, that thou would bless me indeed. Enlarge my coast. Hallelujah. Keep me from evil. Don't let my enemies get me. The Bible says, and God granted him what he prayed for. I'm telling you, same God we serve. Repeat after me, in Jesus' name.
In Jesus'
I'm anointed to prosper. I work to prosper. I have the wisdom to prosper. I'm in warfare to prosper. God blesses the work of my hands. God inspires my mind with wealth ideas. God raises up people to help me. And in the name of Jesus, I will be a good steward over all he puts into my hands. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Now here's how we're going to give tonight, today. Here's how we're going to give. Here's how we're going to give. You're going to get your envelope, and then on the back of it, you're going to write one of your wealth petitions. You're going to write the, you know, need a creative idea. Got it? Or you already have one, and that's the idea you're going to put on there. You got it? Don't put it in detail. Just, you know, bless my creative idea. Bless my job. You know, need the anointing to function at another level. You got it? You're going to write that on the back. You with me? If you already have a creative idea you're working on, then you write it down. Don't write that. Don't explain it, because I want you to be telling somebody, somebody took my idea. I want you to go there. I'm telling you right now. You just said, bless my creative idea. Oh, God, bless me. Bless my business. I mean, how many more customers I need? Put that on there. Make your petition. Got it? Or just, you know, how much more money you want to make. But we're going to put a petition as we pray today. Y'all ready? Father, we just thank you for the opportunity to sow today.